You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight's show, we're talking about how people have a tendency of walking out of our lives. And you know, a lot of times, for the most part, it's never expected. We don't expect them to leave. We don't know why they just took off. And so, you know, why does it happen? And better yet, why do we tend to fight to keep these people in our life even though they want to leave? I think it's funny. It's like this interesting dichotomy of they're leaving and you want to know why. You want to get closure. You want to figure out what's going on. Or is it that we just want the upper hand? Bill, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Ashley. And, you know, interesting topic tonight. Yeah, we were kind of talking before the show, and I think you're going to have a lot more to say about this than me because you've got a larger circle of friends and acquaintances than I do. But, you know, I mean, it's happened to me once or twice.
It has?
Yeah.
I mean, this is like, I have it happen like all the time. And some people come in and out like very theatrical, like in this more theatrical way, like they've designed it, like they've even gotten their, you know, their outfits picked out and the makeup's done a certain way.
I was going to say, like demonstrate it. How do they do it?
A choreographed, you want me to show you?
Yeah.
We'll do it right here. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it could be up for some sort of, you know, Oscar or something with some of these people. I mean, it's
right.
Like beyond belief. It's like they're playing some sort of dramatic role. You know, and other people just kind of just like fall out of favor or fall back in. You just never can tell.
Right.
Spencer Bass is joining us tonight. He's been on Perspectives a couple times before, actually, pro BMX athlete. How you doing, Spencer?
Howdy. I'm doing pretty good. It's good to be back on here again.
And he's got his sugar high just for you, Ashley.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us what you got over there. What is that?
I've got some candy circles, some Chocomunk chocolate, some Big Red, some chips. Pretty much anything besides healthy stuff
that's
healthy.
We had an argument about water earlier.
Because
Ashley's all about health, food, and drinking like, you know, water to your fish. And when Spencer looked at her in all seriousness and said, I don't hardly ever drink water, I thought Ashley was going to faint. I thought you were literally just going to go plop.
I mean, if the guy who invented bottled water should get a Nobel Peace Prize or something for convincing the people they should buy water that's in a bottle. It's more expensive than Coke.
You're the same person that just told me that you actually get a cup of water out of your pool and drink it.
It's water. It's free.
It's chlorinated.
It's free. What's the difference?
It's chlorinated.
My dog drinks and he's okay. I figure I'll be okay too.
Well, there you go. See, I mean, what proof positive? What more?
How
do you
old
need?
Is your dog and what kind of breed?
He's a Basset Beagle and he is 6 months.
See, he hasn't lived long enough to prove the fact that the pool water is okay.
I was going
to
say,
my miniature schnauzer is 6 years old though, and he's been drinking it and he's doing good.
Now, if the Basset Hound lives to a year, then I'll be convinced.
Do any of them drink out of the toilet?
Nope, just the pool.
Okay, just the pool.
Yep.
So we qualified that. No toilet, just pool.
Pool.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because otherwise I was going to ask you to do another demonstration.
Oh, yuck. Moving right along.
You remember when they did that ALS challenge where they had the bucket challenge?
Oh, yeah, you pour the ice water over you.
So, yes. You know, what was the guy from Good Will Hunting?
Robin Williams or,
Channing Tatum? John Travolta?
No, not John Travolta.
Is he in Good Will Hunting?
All right.
I don't even know what Good Will Hunting is. But
it's a movie.
It's a movie.
Clint Eastwood.
That's a good guess, too. No, he was none of them. And Bill's going to find out real quick because he's going to Google this and figure this out. But they did that ALS challenge.
Matt Damon
did the ALS challenge, and he actually scooped the water that he put in his bucket from his toilet.
I mean, it's probably clean. It's the same water you shower with, so...
So then why can't we try that one out? I mean, if we're so busy on the pool water, I mean, go for that.
Well, if you do, Ashley, then I might just walk out on you.
I mean, at least the pool water is chlorinated, so it's like a little bit healthier for you.
I guess.
I will walk out of your life in a dramatic fashion.
I like bottled water. I'm gonna set this straight because drinking chlorine is not good. It dries you up. That's why people drink a lot of water and they don't feel like they're satisfied. They still feel thirsty. Like when you're at a restaurant, especially in certain parts of various states, I won't go into them, some of which we broadcast in, have a tendency of having a higher chlorine than most. And that's why you drink the water and you're over there like, wow, I'm really still thirsty. I mean, it's like I am dying, and so I drink water.
I do know that when I've been swimming in a pool that has high chlorine, you can tell because you get out, and it's like your skin starts to shrivel.
Well, see, the moral of that story is the restaurant's trying to tell you, don't drink water. That's what they're trying to say.
They're trying to sell more alcohol.
I don't know. This is going to be a hard sell.
Well, we'll just stick with the, we'll let you keep your big red. We'll let you keep your big red, and I'll continue drinking my smart water, and we'll move forward with this. I think
we'll just see who's healthier.
We'll just see.
I think I'm already losing that battle. So.
Right.
I might not be. I can't. You know, do tricks like that like he does on a bike. So I mean, I'm not even going to try. I mean, I might sit on the bike. I might actually kind of go down a hill, and that's about as far as I'm going to go for that. So
you want to know something funny? I had training wheels till I was 12. And I started riding at the skate park when I was 13.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You gave me promise on that one. Like, yeah, I feel like so I could,
there's hope.
There is hope, right?
Yeah.
Because I never, that is one thing about bikes. You know, I always like bikes, but I like to go uphill more than I like to go fast downhill. Don't like that. On the road, I don't like that.
I prefer going downhill because you don't have to pedal as hard.
You just sit there and do nothing.
Right.
I always get stressed out, though, especially if you're like looking down at a hard like 90 angle and you're like, and you're just kind of flying. I'm like, oh, God, slow down.
I got hit by a parked car one time doing that.
You did?
Yeah. Notice how he phrased that. Got hit by a parked
car. Was there anybody in the car?
No.
The parked car jumped out in front of him at the last second.
Yeah, I got hit by a parked car.
It's like, I swear, officer, it jumped out in front of me.
How did that happen?
I was looking back at my friend, and next thing I know, I'm on top. I run into the back of the car, and I'm pretty much on the windshield and the hood of the car. I flew over it. There's a nice body dent on the hood.
Now, see, if you had water instead of soda that
I would have probably been weighed down more, and I would have probably gone through the windshield, and it would have been more expensive to fix.
No, so you wouldn't have weighed down more, and therefore you'd had time to turn back around and see it and avoid it. So there you go.
No, I would have been moving even slower.
You would have had more brain capacity, actually, in the brain and the blood, and everything would be actually firing, and all cylinders would be on fire, that he would never look back at his friend because he would have felt his friend and how the distance between him and his friend just by his senses being so highly acute.
Well, my friend had just fell. That's why I was looking back. I think he got hit by a parked car, too. It was a conspiracy that day.
Man, those parked cars.
I think he either clipped the curb or something. I looked back and I was laughing at him. And next thing I know, I'm going over the top of a car.
Karma. That was karma on that one.
Right.
Laughing at somebody falling. Next thing you know, you're on the windshield. Did you leave a note, by the way?
Oh, yeah, it was in our neighborhood. We had to fix that.
Oh, okay, most definitely. So let's talk about this. Like, people that walk out of our lives, right, for the most part, we never expected them to walk out. And so why does it happen? And better yet, why do we fight it? Why do we try to stop these folks from walking out? And I know a lot of people listening tonight are probably saying, you know, what do you mean? How do they walk out of your life? Like, what are you talking about? You know, give me some ideas. And I know some people that like actually walk out of people's lives in almost like a theatrical way. It's like highly dramatic exit stage right. It's like a big deal. They're trying to produce some sort of drama, some sort of feeling within you that, you know, whatever. They're either trying to make you feel like you've done something wrong or you should feel bad because they're leaving. And I always think that's interesting because, you know, you have others that have a tendency of slowly trickling away.
I think the people that like dramatically do that, it's the same people that are kind of always asking for attention in a way. They want to make a big deal about it. They want you to be like, no, don't leave. And they want that feeling and that emotion. And then the people who are just like drift away, like over time you grow apart. I feel like that would be the difference in the two.
Yeah, I think you just hit it right on the head. Because I'm struggling, in my case, I'm struggling to think of somebody who's just dramatically done it. But I have had people, you know, kind of, we just, you know, for whatever reason, we just grew apart or you know, went in separate directions.
I've had people where they actually hang up on you. You know, like you'll be on the phone and you'll say something or whatever and they'll just purposely and they didn't just do a light hang up, like they throw the phone down or what have you.
And they're waiting for you to call them back. Like,
I guess you're right.
And like that's them. Like, you know, okay, let's see if they call me.
So
back.
It's kind of like a little kid throwing a temper tantrum.
Exact same thing.
Just to get the attention.
No, like you always like when you're in elementary school or something, you pick on the one that you like the most. It's kind of like, okay, well, fine. Let's see what they do. Their move.
Your move. And the funny thing though is, if you do call them back, they don't answer.
Yeah.
They let it go to voicemail.
Yeah.
Or you text them, they don't respond. And nowadays with the iPhone too, I just wrote an article about this. With the iPhone, you got those dots. You have like three dots that come up when somebody's like, you know, texting back. And it's funny when you see the dots and you see the dots and you see the dots, and all of a sudden there's nothing, no text, nothing. You're just like, okay.
See, I have friends that actually just leave something in the space just so the dots will always stay there, and you'll always think that someone's responding, but they're not.
That's awful.
That's a good trick, actually. I'm going to use that.
So you just put a letter in there?
Yeah, I don't know. There's something like that. They just type like what they were going to say, and they'd never send it. And so it always looks like they're sending.
It always looks like they're thinking.
Yeah.
Like they have like a really, really good thought, and it's like seven words. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or I have nothing to say.
Wait, hold on. I don't know. That's three words.
That's three words.
Three.
I don't know. I don't know. Bye. That's seven words.
That's seven.
So we got something going on. So yeah, so let's talk about this. I mean, because I think it's interesting how some people do leave like dramatically, like you said. Some people trickle out slowly. They stop calling you, or you kind of, they stop all respondents to your calls, your texts. And it's kind of like forces the relationship to be let gone, you know, to go away. And it's usually based on the fact that the friendship holds a little relevance anymore, I think, sometimes, because depending on how long you've known somebody, you know, sometimes we keep these relationships just based on the number of years we've known them, not necessarily how relevant the relationship is or how meaningful it is. Sometimes it's just out of, I don't know, it's just consistent, you know, it becomes a hobby, it becomes something that we do, it becomes something we're used to, not necessarily something that's worthy of doing. So stay tuned, we return and we'll be talking more about why these people walk out of our lives and why we choose to sometimes fight it. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we're talking tonight about people leaving our life. You know, why do they walk out of our lives? And sometimes we tend to want to fight it. We want to get them back, and we don't know why. You know, I think a lot of times it's because when people walk out of your life, whether it's a friendship or a love relationship, it's normally unexpected. It's not something that you were expecting to happen. So in that situation, you weren't prepared for it. And I think a lot of times in our life, anytime that change comes around that we're not expecting, any not unusual things necessarily, we want to stop and maybe find out or ponder or get a better understanding of why it's happening.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess when someone is a part of your life to an extent where you consider them a close friend, or, you know, whatever, you know, you're emotionally invested in that person. And so if they're on the danger, I guess, of walking out or not being there anymore, then, you know, it's one thing, I think, like Spencer said earlier, where it kind of happens over time. And to a certain extent, you're prepared for it. But if it threatens to happen suddenly, that may be too much of a shock to the system. And so you want to prevent it from happening.
Well, I feel like, you know, if that person is that close to you and have grown up with them and it's someone that's still there through everything you've been through, and if y'all are both on the same page with the friendship as you think you are, then they wouldn't just walk out of your life. They'd be like, okay, let's talk about this. And there would be a right way of going about it, not just, poof, I'm gone. I feel like that says something about where your friendship actually really was.
Well, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You know, that should be just a glaring symptom that there's something wrong.
Yeah.
There, if the other person wants to, you know, just all of a sudden leave.
Yeah, like after everything, if they're like, oh, well, I'm gone. I mean, I feel like at that point, then if that's how they wanted to approach that, if I was that close to that person, and even with the emotions and everything involved, if they wanted to walk out at that point, I'm not going to stop them, because that's how they chose to handle the situation after we'd been close for so long. I feel like that says something about their character at that point.
Most definitely. I agree with you on that, because, and I think there's various levels, though. I think that, you know, there's some people that are very dramatic, and but I do think there are also people that, like you said, want to get attention. And so a lot of times those people have a tendency of going back and forth. And a lot of those people, I allow them to do their personal dance on their own. They're dancing back in and out of my life. And I think a lot of times for those particular people, it's like a certain personal battle with themselves. It's like they're battling themselves on what they want out of the relationship or what you're willing to give.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes people aren't that honest on what they want. So, I mean, I know that everybody listening tonight has dealt with the situation. I'm sure everybody here at the Studio Roundtable knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. When you have people in your life, and for example, it could be, you know, based on a friendship, and you have no idea that this person actually wants more because you're not looking at it that direction. You're not thinking about them in those terms. And so when push comes to shove, you know, they're some of the people that make the most dramatic exit because they're trying to get your attention. And also, I think that they're kind of feeling burnt because you aren't showing them that type of energy. You're not showing them that type of, I don't know, appreciation.
Is it a situation where that other person is like has self-esteem issues and, you know, is always wanting to be the center of attention?
That sounds
and,
right.
You know, so therefore, you know, they're doing this again just to get that attention, Ashley. I mean, like I said, I'm struggling to think of whether that's happened to me personally. I don't think it has.
Well, it was funny. A long time ago, I actually had a best friend of mine, and I'm not going to go into name names or what have you, but we were really good friends. And when we first met, the very first night we met was at this sushi restaurant, and we were hanging out. And about 10, 20 minutes into us meeting, I said, "Hey, by the way, I just got out of a really difficult relationship. I'm only looking for friends. I'm not looking for anybody in any sort of romantic way or sexual way or anything like that. I'm really like trying to clean up my life."
So this happened to be a person of the opposite gender.
It was a man. I'm a woman. So yeah, so that happened, and I was like, you know, I'm just looking for friendships right now. And he was like, totally cool. I wasn't, you know, I'm not trying to like, you know, get in on your space or whatever. And we became really good friends, hanging out all the time. I mean, I'd say we hung out like 3 or 4 times a week, right? And it was about a year into the relationship where I was actually co-hosting a birthday party for him. And it was a big surprise party with one of his other friends. And after, once the party got kicked off and everybody was having a good time, there was probably like 100 plus people there.
Alcohol was flowing.
Oh, yeah. And he had had quite a bit because it was his 40th. And, you know, at one point in time, he's like, "Hey, I need to talk to you." And so we walked back in this back room at this house and we started talking. He's like, "By the way, I have a problem." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "I wasn't honest." He goes, "When we first met, you went off about how you didn't want to have any sort of romance. You didn't want to, you know, you didn't want this relationship to be anything else but friendship. Well, I've been angry at you since then." And I'm like, "What do you mean you've been angry at me since then? And you've been harboring this for over a year?" And he was like, "Yeah. And you know what? I really want to end this, whatever this is." And I was like, "Dude, this is your 40th party, man. And I called all these people. I paid for the kegs half the alcohol." And
you could have told me before.
I was just like, "This is ridiculous." And I said, "You know what? Fine. I'm out of here. I'm gone." And I literally had one more drink. And, you know, I probably slammed the door or whatever, you know, and I took off. But the point was that sometimes people aren't honest in the beginning. And so they're holding or harboring these feelings. And you're over there not even knowing. And then you have this dramatic setup where there I was, not even expecting it, someone's birthday party, and I'm basically told to, you know, scram.
And in this particular instance that you cited, I mean, especially if there's a hope of romantic feelings involved, you know, then, you know, because I'll admit, I've done this myself, too, where I'm interested in a girl and you know, it's like, well, you know, I mean, can we just be friends? You know, like this. Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll be friends, you know, with the thinking that.
And then you never talk to her again?
No.
A little insight into Spencer.
I'll go along with it, you know, at least for a little bit in the hope that, you know, well, maybe she's just saying that. You know what I mean? So sometimes when somebody says no, you know, maybe they don't
No means yes. If I was trying to say it now.
You know, so.
You remember that underwear back in the day where it would say no, and then when it in glow in the dark, it would all say yeses? Do you remember that?
I wasn't born yet.
No.
I'm sure you weren't born yet. Anyway, it was pretty funny stuff. But anyway.
Yeah, you just dated yourself there.
I just dated myself. Yeah, that was like 90s. I was hardcore 90s back then.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I think that that's always an interesting concept when people are battling their personal issues. And, you know, for the most part, most people in this world are battling some sort of personal issue. Whatever it is, a lot of times we as their friends don't know that it's happening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, even only a few times do people actually let you in and make you privy to the things that they're really, really dealing with.
And I think that's where the whole, like, how close are you really to that person? I mean, if you are, like, someone's best friend where they would consider family, then they'll tell you anything. But if not, then, yeah, you might not know what's going on in that person's life if they could be having a hard time, like, or if, you know, they're thinking about making bad decisions that evening or something and, like, they need to talk to someone beforehand, you might not know it. It can go in any aspect of life, but it depends on how close you are with that person.
Yeah, I mean, I have some friends that tell me stuff that they wouldn't tell anybody.
Yeah, and that's like family. That's at that point, you know, blood's not involved, but that's family because they trust you at that level.
Yeah, everything. You know, I mean, you know everything. You know what's going on. I have some friends that I've been best friends with since middle school.
Yep.
And those are certain people that I identify with as far as we tell each other everything. It is the way it is. There's no judgment there. And, you know, the sad thing is that a lot of times people put judgment on themselves, and so they automatically assume that because they're judging themselves that you're going to judge them too if they open up.
Yeah, very true. Very true. But when you know you have a good friend, whenever you tell them something and you might have been judging yourself on it and they don't take one bit of judgment on you, and that totally just neutralized the situation, you're like, that's the dude right there. That's the friend.
Actually, you know, Spencer, have I ever told you my definition of friendship?
I'm about to find out.
I've told Ashley. This and it drives her crazy.
I'm still waiting for the stories to be revealed
because I haven't told her the full story behind it. A friend is someone who will bail you out of jail. A really good friend will be in the jail cell with you.
Yep, because that means they weren't like, I'll come get you later. They're like, yo, you're going, I'm going.
Because there was one night during spring break in Juarez. I got to find this out personally.
Did you get to hang out with Cartel while you were there?
Well, no. although we may have gone to some Cartel-owned establishments.
Juarez, wow. I think Juarez says it all.
Of course, now I'm a little bit older than you are. You know, I don't think it was that bad. I mean, like
that's like saying she's not that ugly. She probably still is not that.
You know, this is when I was 19 years old, and you could still actually go, you know, into Juarez
without a passport,
and you know, have a good time, and you know, and the police may hassle you, and you know, you pay them a bribe, and you know, you get out. So
sounds safe,
you know. Oh yeah, you know, it's kind of one of those rite of passages type things.
I think I want to do that
so
now.
So wait, did you go to Mexican jail? You went to jail in Mexico?
Yes.
Oh, that makes the story that much better.
Yes.
So much better.
I'm still waiting for all the details.
See, I'm leaving her hanging on
I feel like using your imagination with that story makes it so much better.
See, I think so too.
Yeah.
I think so too.
How long were you in there for?
Just overnight.
Oh,
that's
okay.
That's already too much in the Mexican jail. Uh-huh. I wouldn't even want to do an hour there.
It's not meant to be liked.
No.
Did they give you any food?
No.
Any Kool-Aid?
No
churros.
I wouldn't drink the Kool-Aid down there anyway.
Come on, drink the Kool-Aid.
Jonestown Kool-Aid.
No.
Drink the Kool-Aid,
no,
Bill.
No. No.
Come on, drink the Kool-Aid.
Nope.
When we return, we'll be talking more about these people. You know, them walking out of our lives and why we have a tendency to want to stop them from leaving us because we want to know more. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about those people that walk into our lives and walk back out of it. Why do we have a tendency of wanting to fight to get them back or wonder why they left? And, you know, and I think it's interesting, we've been talking a lot about romantic type of possibility. We've been talking about long-term friendship. But what about a potential friend that comes into your life and it's like a brand new friendship. It seems really fun, really wonderful. You're looking forward to seeing that person again. Maybe y'all go out, maybe you hang out with a bunch of friends several times. And all of a sudden, one day, you don't hear from them. No text, no response. Right? And a lot of times we don't really think it's a big deal at the time just because it's a few days. You know, they're probably busy. They got things going on. But you give them a couple more days, and again, no response. And it's kind of interesting how when people do come in very quickly, and they seem like really interesting people, possibly, you know, new best friends or new friends that you can add to your group, it's ironic how, you know, we don't hear from them for several days. And a lot of times, like from what I've been listening to our listeners, as well as some comments on Facebook and Twitter, is that people automatically start thinking, oh, this person must be sick, or they must have been in a car wreck, or they must be in the hospital, or somebody must have died, you know, in their life. And people like to jump to these major conclusions based on the fact that they haven't heard from these people. And I think it's funny how we give this reasoning to the reason why people haven't called us. But, you know, normally this is never the case, right? Normally, there is no death. They aren't sick. And I think it's funny, too, because I had a client recently tell me about a situation that happened in their life like that, and they just assumed something bad had happened. They kept calling. And eventually, they actually had a mutual friend, and they actually talked to that mutual friend about this person, saying, have you heard from him? And they were like, oh, yeah, I went out with him last night. We had a great time. It was an awesome time. They took me to this concert. We had a blast. We ended up going to an after party after that. It was insane. And all of a sudden, they're feeling so, like,
you're like, disjointed. Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
You know, feeling, like, that tall, right?
Yeah. Tiny, not tall, yes. Well, like, yeah. Action figure tall.
And, you know, I mean, that some people just aren't going to give you the courtesy of saying, you know, not really interested in, you know, being friends with you. You know, they just would rather, you know, out of sight, out of mind, and just ignore you completely, which, well, I think is, you know, not right.
Well, see, is that a courtesy by them telling you that, or is them just exiting themselves out of your life really doing you a favor in the long run, because, well, you're not investing more time in someone that doesn't want to be there?
Well, exiting your life, you know, is a good thing if you know, at the beginning of a friendship, if they don't want to be friends with you and yeah, you know, they just would just rather not, then cool, exit your life. Just, I would say something, and that way you're not left wondering. Just say, look.
So you'd rather have me just, like, so if that was us and I said, hey, Bill, we're not friends anymore, bye. You'd rather just me text you that than just poof?
Yeah, I would, actually. No, I mean, I that's not to say I wouldn't be a little pissed off about it.
Yeah.
But it
could have been a little more, like, tactful. Yeah.
At least I'm not sitting there, you know,
wondering,
okay,
what happened.
You know, what the hell? And you know, texting, hey, Spencer, you know, everything okay? You know,
I mean, I've got some friends, though, like, you know, whenever they don't hear from their friends for a while, they start calling all the local jails, and they're like, I wonder if he's okay. But I've learned at a young age, because I turned pro when I was 17, that a lot of people come into your life really fast and leave really fast. And the ones I all saw doing that, like, I might be young, but I've seen a lot of this. And the people who come and go fast are usually there for the wrong reasons. They were never there for the right reason to begin with. They either wanted something, what's going to benefit me, or what can you give me, not the other way around. And it's not like a mutual friend. The friends that I have that would take a bullet for me today are still my friends since day one, and we all have the actual exact same tattoo. Like, we're all that close because we're family. But the ones who come and go and insert themselves and exit and do that periodically more and more, what benefits them by being in your life is what you have to really look at that point. And I see that all the time. People I don't talk to in high school, and all of a sudden, you know, they see me on this or they see me doing this, and like, hey, man, what's going on? How you been? And it's like, it's not obvious.
You know, actually, I think that's a great point. I think that we use the term friend a little too loosely.
Yes.
And a lot of people come into our lives for the specific purpose of seeing what they can get out of us. You know, how will it benefit them?
And they might not even realize they're doing it, but they just see, like, oh, this person's living this life. I want to insert myself into that and see what I can get involved in from there.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, it's funny. I do have some friends that go in and out. Yeah, the word, I don't know about friend anyway, but I do have some people from the past that I've known for a long time. Let's put it that way. And it's interesting how all of a sudden I am like a best friend in large groups. Like, yeah, if they see me out, like, all of a sudden they're buying me drinks and it's like nothing's ever changed.
Yeah.
But if it's just them and I, like,
totally
I don't
different.
Hear from them.
Yep.
Like, so maybe that's because they're trying to, like, show up or show off something based on whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't really see life that way. And so I think a lot of times when you don't see people that way, it's hard to always see the reasons why people are doing what they do.
And, you know, I tried for the longest time not to look at things like that, but it just all started making too much sense. And I really realized that the people who want to be there will be there no matter what. Like, they're going to be the people who don't judge you, and they're, you know, when you need something, you can give them a call and they're there before the cops or anyone else because they want to help you. And those are the ones that matter. Not someone who's like, oh, you're in a tough time? Dude, I got to go. I got to do this. My dog needs to go outside. Like, sorry, I can't help you.
Got to wash my cat.
Exactly. There's always these excuses with those people. Those aren't the real ones. Those are the ones who come and go quickly.
Or here's a sort of a similar type situation. You know, people who define friendship as a balance sheet.
Yeah.
You know, one sacrifice or one, you know, favor has to be equally balanced by another.
Yep.
And if you don't equally balance it, then they never let you hear the end of it.
I have a client that came in yesterday, and we were talking about some stuff, and he said that he actually had a roommate a while back, and when they were working in the same corporation and they were living together, he said that when it would be like $10 difference on a bill, the roommate would put like a note and say, "You owe me $10.22 or whatever." And he's like,
"Yeah,
dude. I mean, I took you. I mean, not, I'm not keeping, you know, score here, but I did take you to the bar and spent almost like $80 on you.
Yeah.
And now you're going off on $10.21.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of BS is this?" And so I understand the balance sheet thing doesn't work. It's like, well, I gave 40% and you gave 60%.
If a bunch of you, you know, it could be even work acquaintances. I mean, you know, like I said, we use the term friendship loosely.
Yeah.
But, you know, this one person and y'all go out and you want to split the tab, and that's the one with the calculator. You know, okay, you know, exactly. I ordered this and this, and I, you know.
You had the iced tea, and I had this one, and you had that one.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't we just split it down the middle?
No. Because I didn't, you know, order that much, you know.
I mean, typically, like, what I see happening is that when you have someone that does the balance thing, it can never work because they're not the same person. They're not you. For it to be balanced, it would have to be two of you to balance it out. If they have a different job, they have a different lifestyle, they have a different hours, they have all this different stuff, there's different factors in their life, there's different factors in your life. Therefore, they might have more resources at some point, you might have more resources, so you can't really balance fairly, and that doesn't make for a friendship. That almost sounds like a business ship in a way.
I think you're exactly right. Yes.
Like a business partnership.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting, like, at the point when the person, like, when you find out that the person's been avoiding your calls, avoiding your texts, your emails, you know, I think a lot of people listening tonight, you know, wonder what they do at that point. And I think a lot of times we wonder why, right, that they walk out of our life, why can't they call, what did they do, what did we do wrong? But I think for the most part, we didn't do anything wrong. But I think in general, humans like closure. They like understanding, they like reasoning, and most people are not privy to just silence. The last thing they want is just no response.
Yeah, me.
Yeah, you don't. You would rather have Spencer say, "Dude, bro, it's over, man. I'll see you later." You know what I mean? Instead of like just nothing, just constantly getting the voicemail, no responses, no nothing.
Yeah, to me, that's the worst.
Because you just don't know anything,
right?
And I think people want like to be called or to told what's going on, and I think that the sad thing about this is that mostly honesty in these situations is less often than like if you had like a super blue moon, you know, like the super moon, but then it's a blue moon, like it never happens, right? Because I don't think most people are really honest in certain relationships. And this kind of goes back to what y'all were talking about. The person's coming in into your life not based on something that's altruistic or, you know, something that's kind of above the line, not something that they're trying to get from you, they're rarely going to be honest with you anyway. I mean, they weren't honest with you coming into your life, right?
They're not going to be like, "Oh, hey, I actually just became your friend because I want to go to all these places and travel with you and do this thing." They're not going to come out and say that. They're going to make themselves seem like they want to be there, and then they realize it's not working or it's not going the way they want. They exit and they find someone else to fill that spot. And that's really what it's almost like. They're like, you're a commodity.
Well,
there's a bunch of you, like, which one should I?
Yeah, and this might sound harsh, Ashley, but you know, those type of people to me sound like parasites.
Yep, I call them toxic.
Toxic people, yep. Parasites. I kind of have a concept for that too. Energy suckers, you know, like the people that are sucking the energy out of you. Because I think these type of people aren't truthful. They're not honest. They're not honest with themselves or truthful with themselves, so they can't be honest with you. Okay, so that's just straight up. When somebody, we know this just bar one, you know, get this really through our head, is that when, like, for example, when somebody's dealing with an addiction and they're not being honest about their drinking or drug problem, they're not going to tell you about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not even honest with themselves. They don't have a problem.
Yep.
So why would they tell you about their problem? And the same goes for somebody's wanting something out of you if they're being fake or they're trying to get something out of you. And that in that same return, that same thing happens that they are not able to sit there and say, hey, by the way, I don't feel like I'm going to be able to get this from you or I already got it from you.
Well, they might not even realize they're doing it. That just might be their nature because they're trying to get something better themselves and they don't realize that they're using you for that. They're just like, oh, well, on to the next one, on to the next.
On to the next person.
Yeah.
So when we return, we're going to be talking more about, you know, people leaving our lives. And then we're actually going to move into the sole reasons why we fight this and how we need to take back our power in life. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can
show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we're talking about people walking out of your life and why we have the tendency to want to fight to get them back. You know, I think it's interesting because a lot of times when somebody does walk out of your life, it's funny how we have this sense of fight. We fight for the relationship. I'm going to get you back, my fair lady. I'm going to get you back, my friend. And it starts to begin this fight for the relationship, calling and texting with eventually you don't even care. You're just like wanting to get an answer. You want to know what's going on.
Well, you know, Ashley, you were talking at the end of the last segment about, you know, these people are energy suckers, right?
Some people can be when they're not being honest. If they're not being honest or if they're not being honest with what they want out of the relationship or they're not being truthful with themselves or truthful to you.
Right, right. And as I recall, you actually did a show or two about that recently. And if I wanted to go listen to that show, then...
Oh, Bill, well, if you wanted to go listen to that show, you could definitely go listen to us on Spreaker.
Spreaker.
We're actually still rated number 3 now in society and culture worldwide.
All right.
So just go to Perspectives or put in Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-Y, and it'll pull it up right for you. So I think it's instantaneous.
Spreaker, or you can go to iTunes or AshleyBurgess.com.
It's in English and in Espanol. So, I mean, you know.
Do you guys have a MySpace?
MySpace?
I'm still on MySpace. I'm a little
good
behind.
Good grief. Yeah, I'd say you are behind.
I'm holding on to the disco ball.
We are actually blogging live tonight on Facebook and Twitter.
On MySpace, though. Sorry, we're not on MySpace.
If you're blogging on MySpace, you're out of luck. But we are on Facebook and Twitter.
Sounds very discriminatory to me.
It is, you know, because we have high standards here.
I can see that.
It's intelligent, you know, and sophisticated.
It's intelligent banter based on a good, deep philosophy.
That's it.
With a basis in society and culture and reasoning.
So MySpace people need not apply.
I used to be a MySpacer.
They
tried to get me back. They sent me this nice email with all the top photographs, and they're like, remember these? You know? Come back.
I mean, when I heard Justin Timberlake and some people bought into MySpace, I was like, wow, that's like, seriously, it's like investing into 8-tracks and disco balls. It already died
out. No joke,
like,
right?
you're, it's not going to make a comeback. They definitely tried, but, you know, it's done.
Yep.
I like vinyl, though. I'm a big vinyl fan.
Okay? Well, for collectors, yeah.
Vinyl's awesome.
Yeah. Vinyl?
Vinyl.
Vinyl records.
Vinyl records. Yeah. You can still get vinyl records. You can still vinyl records.
I wish we were live right now. I wish we were, like, you know, on TV right now. The look on Spencer's face just now. Mm-hmm. Vinyl. He's like, what is vinyl?
Those Frisbees, right?
Frisbees.
How did we go from MySpace to vinyl? They're like the exact polar opposites.
You said disco balls and I said vinyl.
We're talking about the general concept of things that are out of date.
You could still get vinyl pressed, though. DJs can still get vinyl pressed.
Yes,
okay.
They can.
Just FYI, just real quick. Okay.
I don't understand what vinyl is.
He doesn't understand what water is either.
When we go to break, I'll show you a picture.
Okay. Okay.
You get the pictures out. I'm gonna run into the other room and scream.
Okay. I do know what VHS is, though. I know what a VHS is, so that's still my time era. I'm going good with that one.
Well, okay. So let's do a wake up FYI. What about these friendships, you know, that go out of your life? And I think friendships that have lasted for years. Okay, so the friendships that you had for a long, long, long time rarely fall into this category that we're talking about tonight, except for specific situations. And those situations would be if the other person is abusing drugs, alcohol, that their spouse doesn't like you. Okay,
yep.
So this happens a lot when you have an old school friend and y'all hung out all the time. I mean, the alcohol and drug thing, you can figure that out. That's pretty relative, okay? And there's a lot of key things that can reveal to you if a friend is on alcohol and drugs. Okay, there's a lot of things. All you have to do is keep your eyes open for the most part. Okay, I mean, it's just the way it is. But on the flip flop, if the spouse doesn't like you, that can change a whole friendship. You could be really good friends. The spouse doesn't like you, it's over.
I've even seen that with girlfriends. Like, I've had, you know, we're still homies now, but like whenever they were dating, it was like we definitely took a little bit of a hiatus.
Yeah.
And I could tell that person wasn't going to last in their life for the simple reasons that they were toxic to them. It just, that person had to figure it out for themselves. But in that time they were dating, pretty much all the friends or whatever, if they didn't like them, we were just all cut off, and we knew we weren't going to just lose our homie. Like, he would come back around, but we had to let him figure that out.
Yeah, that's, I've had that happen to me too. Yeah.
How long did it take for him to find out?
I mean, on and off about a year and a half, 2 years.
It's a long time, though, and sometimes I get a little disgruntled. I've gotten disgruntled a little bit on that.
Like we would kind of, like, we'd sneak around behind her back sometimes, and, like, you know, we'd go, like, hang out, and, like, it'd be, like, it'd be almost like we were cheating, but we weren't. Like, we'd just go get food or dinner or something, and, like, he'd be like, oh, I'm with so-and-so, but he couldn't say he was with me, or, yeah, it was at that point.
Did he change your name in his phone?
He did.
I've had that before, people change my name in the phone.
And it was so funny, because it looked like, we were dating, but we weren't. It was just friends trying to be friends. And that kind of, I think, opened his eyes to how, you know, crazy this girl is. If you have someone in your life that is toxic to you and they're not doing anything to better you, or they are pulling you away from the people closest to you, then eventually you've got to realize, if you're in a sane mind, okay, something's not right here with this person.
That's so true. And I've had it before where they've had to change my name in the phone like you. And it's like, right, you feel like you're hiding out. You do. You feel like you're secretly going and meeting them for
like
a date.
Having an affair, yeah.
Having an affair with my best friend.
It's weird. It's so weird, because I have a friend of mine, this was a while back, that said that every time he needed to take care of something, or like he was like trying to get something out of the car, or they were going somewhere, like he would, you know, give his girl like his phone, right? Like to carry, like to hold, just, hey, take this real quick. And he said every single time I was texting at that exact same time, and she'd be like, Ashley just texted you, by the way. And he'd be like, oh, Jesus, you know, and he'd be like, okay, thanks a lot. And so finally he goes, it became so comical that you would text me like once a week. And it happened to be the exact time that my phone was in her hand. Like, you text me one time a week, and that's it, and that happens. And so he's finally like, we got to change this. So I think I'm like Roberto or something like that. Or Caesar or something. Well, I don't know who I am in the phone, but I am somebody, and it's not my name.
Well, I know that when I first started dating, you know, my girlfriend, I was best friends with someone who happened to be female. And but I mean, it was kind of a brother sister type relationship. I mean, you know, we'd fight all the time, just like siblings do. And but we enjoyed hanging out. And but you know, when my girlfriend and I started dating, I got the distinct impression that she was not in favor of this. And I think you know, she looked for faults. And I you know, she made it known that you know, she didn't approve. And,
really?
And it for a little while there, it got to the point where, yeah, I mean, it was, I would have to say, okay, you know, I'm going to go run this errand or whatever, but actually I was going to hang out with the friend.
And then the most awkward is if you guys go out in a group, and then you're there because there's like a whole group there, and then that one person, that, you know, the girlfriend that's there that doesn't like you there, and you're like, oh, this is so awkward. You and your friend are like, hey, what's up? What's up, man? Yeah. Don't talk to him. All right. But you're there. You know, you're there with a big group, and so it makes it even more awkward in that situation.
Right.
Because people are like, "What's going on with them?"
Yeah. Like,
I mean, like, they're best friends and stuff. What's going on?
Yeah.
And then you feel bad about saying anything, because you know when you get home, you're going to take it.
Yeah.
You're going to get all kinds of crap.
All
right?
kinds of grief.
And, and you don't want to put your friend through that. So you've got that time, kind of got to just like suck it up and like let them figure it out. As tough as that is, you're like,
when your instinct is to go up and smack him upside the head,
yeah,
you know, whatever. So yeah,
I think that's interesting. The spouse thing or the girlfriend boyfriend thing is always interesting, and I mean, insecurity rearing its ugly head is never a good quality, and that's always interesting to try to figure out how to deal with that person, if you want to marry them, if you don't want to marry them. But sometimes you just wake up and realize that person's actually trying to divide you from everybody in your life so that they can control and manipulate you. And then sometimes it's just based on the fact that they're insecure because you've known them for so long, and maybe they feel like you've known them better than they know you, and so that can be understood. So when we return, we're going to talk about why we have a tendency of fighting to keep these people from leaving our life, and more importantly, how to get our power back. So stay tuned. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've all had people walk out of our lives. But why is it that we try to fight to stop them? Why do we try to figure it out? Why do we try to get them back? You know, right before the break, we were talking about how when it comes to long-term friendships, this usually doesn't apply. They usually don't just walk out of your life, except for very extenuating circumstances. So that would be possible drug abuse, alcohol abuse, dealing with an addiction that they can't seem to handle up on. And so, like, most of the time when that happens, all friendships of theirs are going by the wayside. Things are just aren't working for them, okay? And they're barely keeping it together because they're trying to hold on to this addiction process. The other thing that can happen, too, with an old school friend, if they actually fall out of your life or exit stage right, is that their spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend don't like you. They don't like you. You're apparently a bad seed. You have been coined as somebody that is not to be trusted, and therefore you are no longer allowed to be around this person. And that happens a lot of times as well. There's also another situation that happens too that sometimes we don't think about. You know, we always seem to lambast ourselves when we do something wrong, but there's sometimes when we have long-term friends that can actually be undercover haters. People that actually harbor ill will based on the fact of how successful you become since the time that they've known you. And so that could begin based in elementary or middle school or high school. And if somebody has been maybe more successful or smarter than you or made better grades, and then all of a sudden you turn out to be the success story, sometimes that can cause undercover hating. I mean, you know, Bill, I think we've all dealt with that before.
Yeah. And, you know, that's really a tough situation because it's almost like you've been living a lie, you know, all this time. And again, kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier in the show, where, you know, I would almost rather have a person just say, you know, look, this is not working for me anymore. And, you know, and then, okay, I might get mad about it at first, but then be like, okay, fine, whatever. You don't be my friend. I don't be friends with you either. You know?
Well, you would rather just have the come to Jesus conversation. Just be honest.
I'm a big believer in what I call the Band-Aid theory. And this applies to relationships in general, not just the topic, you know, we're talking about tonight. Basically, you know, what's the best way to remove a Band-Aid?
Not put one on.
Yeah, in the first place. But if you do put one on, okay.
Rip it fast.
Yeah, you got to, what I call grip it and rip it, okay? Because if you try to remove it slowly, you know, then that just prolongs the pain and the misery. You know, like you're pulling out one hair at a time.
Yeah.
Just grip it, rip it. Ow, it hurts. Then it's over with.
It's funny. I just started thinking about, like, that movie where they're actually waxing that guy's chest, 40-year-old virgin or whatever.
Right. Okay.
And I was just thinking about that.
By the way, another movie I haven't seen.
We should wax Bill's chest on one of these shows. See what happens.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That'd be cool, right?
That'd be real fun.
Spencer Bass joins us still on the show. He's come several times. You must definitely like Perspectives because he hasn't told us no yet. Spencer Bass, pro BMX athlete here as well. Spencer, what did you think about the concept of, you know, the undercover haters? Have you ever experienced that?
I have. I've seen people that, you know, you grew up riding with that get a little jealous, or even if it's not me personally that I see it, I see other people in the same situation where they grew up riding with someone and then that person gets sponsors, they get this and that, and you're stoked for them as a friend, but at the same time you're like, oh man, I can't believe he's doing this. Why am I not doing it? And you almost have like a little bit of spite towards them. But if they're really a good friend, that squashes pretty quick. Or, you know, you can always kind of tell. It's kind of like the drug or alcohol thing. You can usually, even if it's undercover, you can usually see, unless they're a really, really good personality manipulator, you can usually see them acting a little bit different if something's up, and you go, hey, what's going on? You talk to them about it, and it usually neutralizes the situation. But if there's no communication, then it's not going to get fixed. And if you aren't noticing, maybe they aren't that good of a friend that you thought to begin with.
True, true that. Also, what about depression? I think it's interesting when people are battling depression. It doesn't matter how long you've been a friend. If it gets continuously worse, it can be something that can actually divide friendship as well, because they try to avoid being in personal contact. A lot of time, depression can keep people at home. And so they might not, they might actually make plans and continue to break them because they don't want to go anywhere.
Well, and I think, you know, we figured out that depression is actually an illness. You know, there's medication for it and all the good stuff. And it makes sense because, you know, the brain chemistry is altered. And therefore, it affects your moods. It affects your personality. It affects, you know, basically who you are. And, you know, depression is a very serious thing. And so if it, you know, somebody gets depressed and that causes you to, or that person to withdraw from you, yeah, I mean, that's an issue.
As well, also, weight gain can do that too for women. Women, when certain people gain too much weight and they don't feel comfortable in their clothes or in their outfits as well, they have a tendency of not wanting to be out in public, not wanting to be personable with people. That's also something to take in consideration. And I think in those situations, the best thing to do is to communicate with your friend and find out what's going on. And I think at that point in time, if you've been an old enough friend with that person to know for that long, you know, their general, you know, mojo, their general way of being, I think you can kind of see, and you have to actually step up to the plate in that situation and be a friend of them and figure out what maybe their help they need, as well as maybe directing them to some professionals as well. I mean, because I can talk about being a licensed therapist, I could talk about depression all day, but this show is only a finite amount of time. And there's different types of depression and there's different types of things. I don't agree with only medication treating it. I do think that there has to be, you know, cognitive behavioral changes as well. But all these things need to be dealt with and to be honest with your friend. You know, I think it's interesting, though. I really want to talk about why we try to fight to keep people in our life, because I've battled the same conundrum throughout my life. I battled the conundrum of wanting to stop people from leaving my life. And I think that I know I did it because, one, either I just wanted to know. I wanted to have some answers. And I also think there's the inherent tendency of the human condition, the idea of wanting to be liked by everybody, the idea of wanting to be, we're people pleasers. At the heart of all hearts, when we were children and we were born and we would do things like walk for the first time, who do we want to impress? Mom and dad. When we would do things, we were like, look at me, mom, no hands on the bicycle. Look, yep. Mom, look, dad, who are you trying to please? Who are you trying to get to look at and say, great, mom and dad? Now, how does that go after you get out of your family life? When you get to the ages of 20s, and whatever, who are you trying to impress? All your friends. When you're in middle school, you're trying to impress your friends. You're trying to get them to like you. When you're in high school, the same thing. Throughout your whole life, to a degree, until you acknowledge the fact that most of us are people pleasers, you still want to people please. You still want to know, why? Well, why don't you want to be my friend? Why don't you love me? You know, I mean, I thought we were friends. And I think that that's at the inherent basis of why we take personal offense when someone walks out, and why we feel that somehow or not, to some degree, we did something wrong.
You know, I feel like when I was younger, I used to be that person that was like, oh, why are you leaving? Like, you know, I wanted that closure. But the more I saw it happen with people coming in and out or this, that, and the other, I just kind of realized that, okay, well, if this person doesn't like me for me or they don't want to be in my life, then I'm better off without them. And it's still like, you know, as easy it was to let them go, it was hard at the same time because you were close with them. But if they were willing to make that choice, then they didn't want to be in my life. Why should I make them stay? Why should I put out that effort to try and grab them back? You know?
I agree with you. We're going to talk more about that here in a little while, because that is very important in the basis of why they left and why we have to let go. And I think, though, in the process of us fighting, in the process of maybe not seeing that that type of view or maybe that silver lining, a lot of times I think one of the things that we want to do as humans is we want to win. I think we want to win at all costs. I think sometimes, especially when it comes to relationships, we want to win and we'd rather be the one walking out than the one that's being walked out on.
Yeah, I mean, it's to me, it's kind of almost the same concept as the balance sheet. You know, it's we don't want to think of us as competing against our friends, but again, you kind of can't hardly help it. And so it's like, okay, somebody doesn't want to be friends with you anymore. Oh yeah, well, I'm just gonna change your mind, you know, just, and I'll, you know, be the winner, and therefore, you know, I'm the king or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
It's like the concept of breaking up with someone. When someone says, "I broke up with them," and they're like, "Whoa, wait a second!
I broke up with you.
I broke up with you." Right?
You know, it's interesting you say that, Ashley. I mean, if someone doesn't want to be friends with a person anymore, it is a breakup. I mean, you know, we associate the term breakup with romantic tight relationships. But, you know, a friends breaking up is the same dynamics, don't you think?
It can be as traumatic as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because it is funny, though, how we always, a lot of times we do want to win. And it's funny, even when you become friends with people that, like, relationships that you had in the past, romantic relationships, and you become friends with those people later on in life, it's still funny how the person always goes back to the point where, well, I broke up with you. Let's get this straight. Like, we all remember really what happened.
What is it on Friends? It was a Ross and...
We were on a breakup!
Yeah, exactly.
We were on a breakup!
Ross and Rachel, yeah.
Ross and... God, I love that show.
I mean, someone's got to get the last word, right?
Exactly.
Like, and if you both have that same mindset, then it can go back and forth all day long.
It's true. I think about the times where people get back together just so the other person can break up. They get back together, and then the other person the next day can be like, I'm breaking up with you. And they're like, whoa, wait, I just broke up with you yesterday. No, it's not going to work. It's funny how that works out. I didn't ever get broken up with. I always was the breaker-upper.
I can see that about you.
I was always
the breaker. You are a heartbreaker, actually.
At 9 months was really the longest I could deal with in a relationship. And when that happened, it was normally... It's not you, it's me. I got to talk to you about something. Just a little thing we need to talk about. You know, it was always great when you, I always like, I never seemed to break up for a better person. It always seemed to be somebody that was just a little more messed up, but you know, especially preacher's sons and what have you. I mean,
oh, that's the worst.
A good group of them. But anyway, when we return, we'll be talking more about why we fight to keep people in our life and honestly why they left in the first place, to give you some more honest thought process and some more honest perspective on why you just want to let them leave. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
I'm ready to fly.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we're talking about when people walk out of our lives. We're talking about the concept of wanting to fight to bring them back in, to pull them right back into where they came from. So why do we fight to keep them? A lot of times we fight because we want to win. We want the control. We want the control factor of being the one that says, no, I'm over this relationship, not you. Not you. And so that control factor and that desire to win usually keeps us in this cycle of unhappiness. And I think that's interesting, that whole control factor. But I also think we don't actually acknowledge the fact that this could be the best thing that ever happened to us. We don't ever see that silver lining. We don't see that this could actually be working into our favor. We actually see the opposite of it not being in our favor.
And my chair is making noises here, actually. What's up with that?
I was making sure that wasn't you. But anyway.
No, it wasn't me.
Come on, Bill. Be honest now.
I'll go to the bathroom for that.
Ew. My God.
He's just trying to get his daily fix of water. That's all he's trying to do.
Yeah, are you happy now? Yes.
Water's causing this?
Yes.
By the way, it's like a little 6 ounce glass of water. This is like nothing. This is nothing. I drink like 70 ounces a day.
Oh, golly.
She must be pretty gassy.
There's no gas. Gas is only from people that don't have water.
She's full of something, all right.
Oh, love. Love.
Yes.
Love.
And unicorns
and hugs. Love and hugs. Yeah, exactly. So I think a lot of times we want that control factor. We don't see that it's a good thing that they left. Also, it's interesting how we want closure. In any relationship, we want this closure. We want to understand, why did this come to an end? You know, especially in love relationships, we think about this. But right before the break, Bill was talking about, you know, how really when it's just even a old school friendship relationship, we still have a tendency of, it's almost like a breakup. It can still feel like a breakup. And in that sense, you want to know why. Just tell me why. Why didn't it work? Why didn't it happen for us? Why didn't we shoot the moon, honey?
You know, I've got a story for you there, Ashley. And you know this story. So I don't think you do, Spencer. And maybe some of our listeners don't. By the way, we are live on Facebook and Twitter. So if our listeners, if you have any similar stories, please share them. And we'd love to hear what you have to say. So you know the former friend I had, Ashley, who I just decided, you know, it was too much, and I had to end the friendship.
Right.
This is a couple of years ago. And, you know, and I had moved to, you know, the city where we live in, and we were introduced by mutual acquaintance, and we hit it off. And you know, we went and we went drinking together. We went chasing women together. Just hung out together, watching sports, and we had a lot of things in common. He had a girlfriend at the time, and at least at that point, she seemed cool. Turned out she was psycho, but sometimes
that's
she
for
can't.
Another show.
Yeah, that's for another show. But anyway, so the girlfriend broke up with him, and he just went on a downward spiral, and he just could not get over it, and got into drugs. Got really depressed, and I tried my best to help him, and it's like, dude, you've got to put her out of, because the problem was he kept trying to get her back, and she'd already had affairs on him, and she'd already moved on to another boyfriend. He just couldn't get over it, and so he just kept spiraling down and down and down, and it got to the point where he was threatening to take me with him. And that's when I just kind of, and Spencer, here was the straw that broke the camel's back. My mom had driven into town to spend the week with me, okay? And, mm-hmm. and she drove like a good 8 hours, so it's not like a quick trip or anything. And so he was feeling depressed, and, she'd done something else to him. He wanted me to go drinking with him. And I'm like, can't do it, brother. My mom's in town. Maybe we can go tomorrow night after she's left. He just goes off on me. It's like, I can't believe that, your mom's been there all week. You've seen her all week. And at that point, I'm just like, okay, you know what? If you expect me to leave my mother, to go drinking with you, then I don't need you. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, to bring it back to what you were talking about, Ashley, when I cut it off, I went through a little short bout of depression. Because we were really tight. And it felt like a breakup. And
you hung out
all
the time. You were hanging out all the time. You were carousing all the time. You're getting drunk all the time. Doing whatever you're doing all the time. The go-to person when you're like hanging out. I got to call so-and-so, and then it's gone. It's done.
But you knew you had to for that situation. It was the only option you really had at that point.
Yes.
And so it does make it easier, but it doesn't fix what you're going through. But at the same time, like you said, he, when they broke up, even though she had put him through all that, he was putting himself through more by trying to go back and not just letting it go and realizing I'm better off. Since he didn't want to see the silver lining and he was so hooked, he was not only bringing himself down, but the people around with him down.
Yep.
And that's a dangerous situation.
He lost most of the friends he had at that point. And, even gotten on bad terms with his parents.
It's sad.
And it really was sad. And it just got to the point where either I was going to go down with him or I had to look out for number one. But go down
with the ship.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Take one for the team. We're in the pity party right now. We're pity partying it out. We're going to get depressed. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to pity party this to the depths of destruction, and I'm going to take you down with me.
That was Eddie's, point of view.
And see, here's the best thing. After the pity party the next day, what changed?
Nothing.
You can either, if you lose a finger, you can look at it as, oh my gosh, I'm short a finger, or, hey, I still got nine. It depends on which way you want to look at it. If you lose a relationship in your life, you sit back and you look at what you really have. Do you want to lose all the rest of that because you're going to continue to harm yourself? Like you said, he lost a lot of his friends because he didn't want to let that one go, and it brought everything else away from him because of that one thing. It's dangerous.
But I was depressed for a little while. It felt like a breakup.
And I can understand that, Bill. And I think that's interesting because, friendships can feel like breakups because when you spend so much time with people, you've invested so much time and energy with that. I think the last thing or the reason why we fight to keep people in our life, even though they've tried to depart, is that we really wanted the relationship on our own terms. I think that's straight up. Sometimes we want relationships based on our own terms. We have friendships and relationships in our lives right now, and for everybody listening can agree to this, that there are some relationships that are all based on one person's terms, whether they want to respond in a certain way where it's only email confirmation where they'll respond to you, whether it's only text, whether they will only call you, and it's all based on their terms of what they want. And period. And so I totally get that as well. And so sometimes we fight because we want it back. And we want to know why we can't have our way. So let's talk about why these people left in the beginning. Besides the fact that Bill obviously left that relationship based on the fact that he didn't want to go down with the ship, which makes sense because I've been in relationships like that where you're looking around at the writing on the wall knowing that it's not going to get any better.
Right.
You know? I mean, I've been in relationships where, I mean, the best thing I could do was to start smoking because that was the least of the worst evils.
Well, and the hard part is that you can see the writing, but the other person can't. And that's the most frustrating thing.
Or won't.
Exactly. Won't. They're refusing to.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, someone who's been, oh, your girlfriend's cheating. Like, no, she's not, dude. No way. Like, you tell them, but they don't want to see that writing. If you see the writing and they don't, it's a constant battle, and it's the most frustrating thing ever because you're trying to convince them of something that they don't see themselves.
True. And you know what's interesting is trying to convince them of things that they don't know. For example, the worst thing to try to tell somebody is that somebody's cheating on them.
Yep.
Like, that is something that I personally don't do, okay? I've done it once, and it backfired really bad on me, okay? And there was a period of several years where me and this person didn't speak. Because the girlfriend actually put a division between us because I was like enemy number one at that point, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, when you tell your friend, by the way, I ran into so-and-so at this hotel the other day, don't know what she was doing there. Not a good thing. I keep my mouth shut now, okay?
Yeah, that's like the hardest thing to say. Like, how do you sit there, you stand in front of the mirror in your room, you're trying to like, how am I going to tell him this? You like work out your speech. That's whenever you try to get your Oscar performance ready because
yeah.
It's gonna be a big, big spectacle. That's gonna be the drama right there. Whenever you tell them that, because they're either gonna take it or you are the worst person to them for telling them that.
Get the hell out of my house, Spencer. I've had enough of this. Yeah. or they confront their girlfriend or boyfriend with the situation, and then that person turns it all around, and then they find out that you were the one. And that's what happened to me. They found out I was the one that said it because they let the cat out of the bag. And guess what? I became enemy of the state.
See, the best way to do it now, I mean, it's 2015. You got camera phones. You just take a quick picture. You walk in all cheaters. You're like, hey, you two sit down. Let's go out to lunch. You take them out to lunch. You put them at the table together. And then you just show them the picture and go, I'm going to walk away now. You two figure this out.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That would be the best way to neutralize the situation.
Let us know when you're going to do that next, Spencer, because we'll have a show right then and there. Love connection or not, who's cheating, who's not, and who's the father of the child? Let's figure out if this is your DNA. So,
wow.
That's a good one, right?
Jerry.
Ashley.
Yeah,
in this case, Spencer. That'll be awesome. We'll just be in the background going, shh, let's see what happens now. Okay, so when we return, we're going to talk about why these people actually left your life in the first place. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, we've been talking tonight about why people leave. You know, when people exit our life, when they exit stage right, what are we supposed to do? And a lot of times we run and chase after them. We want them back in our life. And we figured out why a lot of times we want to pull them back, whether it's control, whether it's closure, whether it's we want the relationship on our own terms. But, you know, let's talk about why they left in the first place, because I think that's important to figure out exactly toward the end of why we should actually let them leave. And, you know, a lot of times people leave in the first place because they weren't honest in their intentions in the beginning. And I think that's a big thing, is that when people are not honest in their intentions in the very beginning of a relationship, it's hard to stay in it based on a lie. When a relationship is based on a lie, it's hard to sit there and say, okay, I'm going to stick with this. And a lot of times that normally catches up with the person, or they figured out that they can't gain in these intentions or actually make these work for them, or they've actually used up as much as they can.
Now, there's always two sides to every story. So let's say from the other side, you are that person and you don't realize it. You know, if you're talking about someone, so people don't realize they're doing it. What if you are that person and your friend realizes it and they decide, I'm cutting this person out because that's the toxic one. So I'm the toxic one, and that's why my friend left, and I had no idea that was happening. And so then you're really confused because you thought everything was great and they just left. So maybe in their mind, you were the one who was in the wrong, not them.
True. A lot of times when people are toxic, or when they're energy suckers, they don't actually notice the fact that they're the energy sucker. They don't really think. And a lot of times when we talk in these terms in the show, we're always saying that you're the good guy and everybody else is the bad guy. And so, yes, from a different perspective, look in your own backyard.
That's the ego talking, isn't it?
It's your ego, Bill. I took your voice out of your head and just started saying
stuff. And just, yeah.
Yeah, you know me.
You're good that way.
I don't have an ego, you know me. Yeah, but I'm talking about the intention in the first place. And so, yes, it's true. We also have to check ourselves and say, you know, why are you friends with these people? Why does this person matter to you? I mean, if you just started hanging out with this person because they're in Hollywood and they're a TV or film star, Did you really start hanging out with them because they were friends of yours? Or did you start hanging out with them because they're on TV or in film?
I mean, if you know someone who's a BMX pro star, did you hang out with him just because he's a star in BMX or
See?
Just because of him?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's the key is that you have to, and I think a lot of times it's awesome when people don't know, but it's hard to sit there and, you know, not know. You know, like, you're hanging out with Antonio Banderas, you can't sit there and say, oh, that's not Antonio Banderas, it's just this guy that has this accent. And it's hard to sit there, but you have to sit there and divide what the person does from the person themselves and sit there and say, well, I still want to be friends with them. I mean, if that person, like in Spencer's case, if that person couldn't ride a bike, period, and was a linguist scholar, could I still hang out with them? You know, I have friends that are in Hollywood, and would I still hang out with them if they're not on TV or that are not in film? And you have to sit there and qualify that and say, okay, would I hang out with this person? If they didn't have money. If somebody didn't have money, would I still be their friend? Because there's a lot of people, and I want to go out on a little tangent real quick. There's a lot of people that I see hanging out all around town with people that the only reason, because these people are normal jerks, okay, there's some real jerks out there. Yeah. I mean, the jerk store sold out, okay?
Right.
Sold out of all the jerks. And I see people hanging out with these jerks all the time. And you know what? The one common denominator with these jerks are they all have money. And if you took all that money from that jerk, would you still hang out with him?
I mean, I see it in my situation all the time, too. Like, I always look at it as the people I have close to me is, if I were to lose all my sponsors and get hurt and I could never ride a bike again, would they still really still be around and be my friends?
Right.
Like, and if you're around a person like that, you need to think if, you know, let's say, like, I was looking on the outside in and my friend was a pro rider, would I still be his friend if he lost all of his sponsors? I mean, that really puts it into perspective.
No pun intended.
Yeah, no pun. If that's where you should be or that's where they should be.
Well, and I think that kind of goes to the heart of my definition of a true friend. See, because like I said earlier in the show, we use the term friend way too loosely.
Yes.
You know, it's like we use the term love way too loosely. So, you know, we call just acquaintances, you know, friends. Oh, you know, it's my friends. To me, you know, a true friend is, you know, is someone who's going to be there through thick and thin and who's going to like you for who you are, warts and all, because all of us have faults, even you, Ashley, believe it or not.
Really?
I know.
Thanks for pointing that out, Bill.
Well, I mean,
I haven't learned that yet.
I was going to say, you haven't been on the show near long enough yet, but, and you're going to have to look hard.
I like Spencer on this one. You know? I'm going to have to argue with you on this, Bill. I have problems, huh? We should talk about that later on. Hazard pay.
Yeah, no joke. I should get hazard pay. But
no,
yeah.
No. Me.
Oh, no, me. I should get hazard pay.
No, me.
Children.
See?
See what he's done. Okay, so. No, but think about this, too, is that a lot of times we don't realize that when people walk away, it's saving us. It's saving us to some degree, right?
Most times it's for the best. Most times it's for the best. Yeah.
I think every time is probably for the best when you really think about it.
Well, I mean, you had said, you know, in your past relationships, you know, you've had this, that, and the other, but look at where you're at now. Would you be where you're at now had they not walked out of your life?
If they were
still there, whether it's friend, boyfriend, girlfriend, anything, would you be at the point you're at right now? You're alive, you're kicking things, you know, they could always be worse. You're doing good. Would you be in a different place if they were still there?
Right.
Would it be better or would it be worse? I mean, it's usually for the best if someone leaves your life. They shouldn't have been there to begin with.
And you got to let them go. And I think that's some things that we're going to be talking about here in a second of why you should just let them go. But I think also a lot of times why people left is they don't realize your worth.
Yeah.
I think that's inherent in the system is that when somebody leaves your life and they're that quick to leave, they don't care about telling you anything. They just walk out. They don't even know that you're worth it. They don't even really realize that you're even a person with feelings anyway because it doesn't really impact them at all.
I feel like social media has changed that a whole lot too, and it's made that more common because everyone's someone's friend on social media.
You know, and I when I tell people that I only have 67 friends on my Facebook, they look at me literally like, you know, I've got like a horn growing out of my forehead. It's like, only 67? Why 67? You know, when people have hundreds or even thousands.
Can you name all those hundreds of thousands? I mean, like, really, are they really your friends?
Yeah, it's and kind of going back to what Ashley was saying about competition. I mean, you know, first MySpace and then Facebook, people would actually compete to get as many friends, quote-unquote friends, as they can. And, you know, so I have declined Friend offers on Facebook. In fact, I do it all the time.
I think I'm your friend on Facebook, so I feel special about that.
You are. Well, you know, the doctors at the Institute say you're special. No, I'm kidding. But yes, I
that's private information. You can't talk about that.
I accepted yours, but I decline all the time, not because I want to be rude or anything like that.
We've had people on the show, and then he's like, they've asked him to be a friend, and next thing you know, he like declines their friendship. And like we'll get a call like Bill, what's wrong with Bill? Why didn't Bill accept my friend? And then Bill goes back to this whole thing. I only have 67 friends, and I don't want to change it. Make it very clear to some people.
Some people
take it as a personal strike.
So some people do take it. I have to say that it's nothing against you. It's just that I really truly only want to use my Facebook for a very small circle of very close friends.
And see, that's the day and age we live in now. I mean, I don't know if you guys experienced this much back in the MySpace days, but when I was on MySpace, I was in junior high and early in ninth grade, so barely in high school and before it phased out. And if you weren't in someone's top friends, but they were in your top friends,
yes, I remember that.
Or if someone like removed you from their top friends,
I remember that.
That was like someone just walked out of your life. That's whenever I feel like the whole social media breakdown of friends and what all that meant. Oh, well, I'm not your friend on here. Really started, translating to that.
That's interesting.
I do remember that actually.
That's interesting.
I definitely lost some. It sounds funny to say, but we were kids. But I definitely lost some friendships because I didn't have him on MySpace. So once MySpace had a top 50, I just put everyone I knew who was like my closest friends, and I just threw them all up there, so I didn't have to deal with that anymore.
That's cool.
In fact, I will say that a lot of the way I treat my Facebook, it came about because of MySpace, because of that drama.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to deal with it.
Or they're in your top friends, and like, how come I'm not number one? Why is this person number one? Oh, well, you see, it's like, does that stuff like that? That's what really social media.
Who was your number one?
I don't even remember. And then that shows how important that really was in life. Like,
some people think it's so important and it might not have any relevance.
Exactly. And social media has transformed friendships to almost,
yes,
even real life. People look at it as a digital friendship, even though we're sitting here talking face to face.
Well, what about when let's move this live show out of the studio and at a restaurant and we're all talking, but two out of the three people are on their texting friends on Facebook about, hey, what's going on, when they're not even in real life with them.
Yeah.
I see that all the time where you'll be at somebody's birthday party and they'll be like texting like Facebook stuff. And it's like, they never even hung out with these people.
Or tweeting,
They never even hung out with these people.
Instagram, whatever.
Or taking pictures and all this stuff. It's unbelievable. I think the last but not least is that some people suffer from depression and other health issues. And guess what? They walk out on everybody.
Yeah. If they're walking out, I feel like, with depression, they're not just walking out on you. You'd be able to see that it's an everybody thing because they're pulling back to seclude themselves.
And that happens a lot too. And some people that are very egocentric as well, some people that are extremely narcissistic as well, do the same thing, and they do it to everybody. And everybody has a finite time, and once they've gotten what they wanted, or they feel like they got what they wanted, they're out of here, and they'll probably also defriend you on Facebook. So anyway, when we return, we'll be talking more about what you should do in the situation when somebody actually walks out on your life. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in two shakes.
I could lift you up, I could show you what you want to see, and take you where you want to be.
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We've all had people walk out of our life. We've all had people just exit stage right without even knowing that they were going to do it. And a lot of times we try to stop them from leaving, and we've talked about why we do that, because of control issues, because of the fact that we want it on our own terms. But why should we not do this? Why should we just let them go? Why should we just allow them to leave? Because I think a lot of times we want to get in the way. We want to stop things from happening because we want to have this control. We want to have closure. We want to have understanding. But why should we just let them leave? And I think one of the biggest things that we have to recognize is that we have to allow and welcome change. We have to allow change in our life because sometimes change is one of the best things we can get. We have to almost embrace them leaving our life because a lot of times this could be the best thing for us, period.
Well, actually, the important point there is embracing change, which, as we all know, is very difficult for a lot of people to do. And we've even talked about this on previous episodes. So again, go to Spreaker or AshleyBurgess.com or iTunes to listen to previous episodes. But change means accepting the unknown. You're not going to know what's going to happen after that change goes into effect. And a lot of people have a very innate fear of the unknown. It's the greatest fear that excuse me, human beings can know. And so for that reason, some people don't like change.
That's true.
It could be something like, I see it all the time, like new roads open up and people drive the longest possible way because that's what they've been driving forever and they don't want to drive the new road.
I agree. And I agree that a lot of times we do this out of habit. And a lot of times relationships continue out of habit based on the fact that it's something that's normal for us, it's something that we deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah. I mean, I know people that are in those, again, it's similar to the road, but they're in a bad relationship and they've been in that bad relationship for a while, but it could be abusive or anything, but they don't want to leave because that's all they know. And that's where they're comfortable, even as crazy as it sounds to them. Any other change is not, they don't want it.
Right. So, you know, if you get used to like a certain person being in your life,
yep.
Even if the relationship is, you know, maybe toxic or whatever, you're so used to that person's presence, mm-hmm. and the effect that person has on you, that you just, I mean, the idea of not having that there anymore can often be just overwhelming. I think that's the same concept as like a person in a toxic, you know, romantic relationship.
Yeah, I mean, even look at it in the sense that like you have a good relation with that person, and they pass away. When that person's gone, you still, you know, it's a change without that person there, and you still feel it the same way. You can feel it positively or negatively, but it's the change that you don't know.
True. And a lot of times we just have to embrace it, and you have to understand that there's more to the situation. There's more to this. There's more options. And we have to also understand that a lot of times when people leave, it's not all about us. Okay, first and foremost, it's not all about you. Okay, the reason why people leave, and sometimes it can be all about you because it could be the best thing that could happen to you. Because if this person was to stay in your life for X amount of time, you could completely go off target. Things can go wrong, and they can actually sidetrack you from living the life that you're supposed to lead. And a lot of times we allow people in our lives with no boundaries. We don't create a lot of boundaries, no healthy boundaries out there. So we're over there willy-nilly in it together, and we're allowing people to transcend in places and different dynamics in our life, causing even more problems. And sometimes if it is a toxic relationship or if it is a toxic love relationship, a lot of times those people can actually cause more problems. And so allowing them to leave can really help. And I also think that we have to also realize and not spend the time worrying about it. I think that it's the human condition to want to please people and to want to understand why. What did I do wrong? Why did this not work? But the time that we spend on pontificating and worrying about why the relationship is gone, we could be doing something totally more meaningful.
Yeah, I mean, like, look at Bill's friend. I mean, he got depressed and went down that road because he was wanting that back so bad and fighting for that it ruined a lot of things for him because of just that want to have that person back.
Yes.
And you wanted to have them back just because, you know, but that's the interesting part too, is for anybody listening too that have actually decided to pull them back into your life, because I've done that. So you go after them, you're like, wait, come back, you know, and the next thing you know, you're hanging out there with them, chilling out, and it's very hollow.
Yeah.
It can feel really empty. And sometimes you might instantaneously have this gratification. Yes, I got it back, you know, and you're hanging out. And next thing you know, it just feels empty because there's not a lot of depth there. There's not a lot of understanding there. And you start realizing after the second or third time you do this, why it's probably not meant to work out. And all, you know, I think also we have to just realize that there's an order to life, that in order to make room for new people in your life, for people that can really be beneficial in your life, you actually have to make room for them.
You know, I mean, nature abhors a vacuum. Shout out to our boy Keenan, by the way. There's a scientific reference. But and so if a person leaves your life for whatever reason, then a lot of times that vacuum is going to be filled with somebody else.
One door closes to open another.
There you go. And we should be open to that.
Yep.
And sometimes people leave because they weren't conscious of themselves leaving, really, and not consciously helping you. But sometimes the universe divides. It's a greater force at work here. So sometimes in order to make this room, you know, John or whoever's got to leave your life. And it's not necessarily, it doesn't really make sense sometimes at the time, but sometimes if you really look deep enough and you realize the situation, you understand, like Spencer was talking about from the very beginning, but we had to actually create this model to understand how we got there. But a lot of times we have to realize it's the best thing that could happen for us. I mean, a lot of times when we go to try to run back to get something that has left us, we're actually putting ourselves back in danger. We're putting ourselves back in a problematic situation. And anybody that's gone back to a love relationship that wasn't working, and you go back because maybe the sex was good, or you go back because it's commonplace and you've been together for so long. How long does that normally last? Not very long. And how do you normally feel after that? Pretty disjointed.
I don't ever see anyone happy whenever they go back to those things. They want it back, they're depressed, and they're trying to get happy again, then they get it back, and they're straight back to the sadness again.
Yeah.
It's like, when, at what point are you going to stop and make yourself happy and realize that's what you need around you?
And that's, don't you think, I mean, that those kind of people are kind of, you know, they have that, what?
Codependency?
Yeah, codependency or an independency, you know, that type of person. Codependency, yeah. Okay. You know, maybe has self-esteem issues in the first place, and...
I think it's easy for us, though, because we're people pleasers. I think the human condition is people pleasers. I don't think it's just particular people, really. I think we can become codependent just by being in a relationship long enough. Yeah. I think people, you know, codependency is basically not being your whole individual person. It's like you're now like this person, and it's two people now.
Yeah.
And it's not, it doesn't work that way. Two people come together to create two people, not two people come together to create one. And I think a lot of times people forget that. That's not what it's about. You don't lose your identity. You're not supposed to lose your identity, but a lot of people allow their identity to go south.
See, my mom, and I've talked about this on several previous episodes. She's the dictionary definition of a codependent person. And that's why she put up with the toxic relationship for almost 15 years.
Because she had to have that person,
and she totally took on his personality. You know, like, see, I actually knows the backstory here, but real quickly, I'll tell you just real quick. You know, my mom, you know, was not a sportsman before she met this guy, and then all of a sudden, she's like the biggest basketball fan in the world.
Yeah, wasn't her thing. That was because he liked it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're not around people that are like-minded like you, or they're not bettering you in some, like, if you're not around the same people that have the same mindsets or that are headed the same way as you, they're either going to pull you down or they're going to make you, like when your friend was going down, he was trying to take you down with him, but they're either going to take you down with him and pull you away from where you should be.
Yeah.
That's true. And also sometimes when people exit, also it might not be permanent. That's something else we want to talk about. It says sometimes it's not permanent. Sometimes they might come back when the timing is correct. But right now, it's just not the right time. And so sometimes we can't always look at things being permanent. A lot of times, the human condition is all about black and white, no gray. And sometimes we have to allow things to be. I think one of the biggest things that I want to kind of just talk about real quick is that I think the best thing to deal with is to write about your feelings, to get your feelings out on paper. When you're dealing with these situations and you have no closure, it's really good to clear your mind by writing down what you're feeling, because it allows you to actually understand the situation. I mean, don't just keep it all up in your head rattling around going, I really wish I could just communicate with this person and understand. Write it down.
I agree. I mean, there's so many times, like, you know, even let's say like a relationship, guy and girl, you're not on the same page and you want to say something, you say it and it comes out completely wrong, ends up in a fight. You write it down, you think it out, you guys are more organized, and it's a logical adult conversation rather than screaming and arguing with each other.
You said this. You did this 5 years ago when I asked you to take out the trash. No, I mean, I totally get you. I totally agree with that. So I think allowing the change and realizing there's probably a higher power, as well as it's helping you somehow or not because it's the right thing that needs to be done in your life. That's why we have to let people leave. Spencer, awesome show as usual.
Adios. Thank you for having me.
Adios, amigo.
Adios, amigo.
You know, I can't speak. Yeah,
but vaya con Dios.
Everyone's always like, do you speak Spanish? I'm like, no, I just say adios and gracias a lot. I don't actually speak Spanish.
Muy poquito español.
I don't speak a lot. I don't speak a lot of Spanish.
Again, what part of don't speak a lot of Spanish didn't you understand there?
Bill, great show.
Thank you very much.
So again, when people run out of your life and they go stage right or stage left, let them go, because guess what? It's probably the best thing that could happen for you. So stay tuned. We got a great show for you tomorrow on Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in 3 shakes.